little warm here.
Good morning. Today's first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is a promise that Israel, as a nation, though dead in exile, will live again in their land through God's life-giving spirit. Three times Israel is assured that through this vision, they will know that I am the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very, very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from the graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel this morning is from John, the 11th chapter, starting at the first verse. Please read responsibly. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus.
Lord, you know your mother is ill."
But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awake." Disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I am only God and will give you whatever you ask of me."
Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him,
"I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him,
"Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were at her with her in her house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to be there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came also with her weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him,
"Lord, come and see."
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said,
"Is it not he who holds the eyes of the blind man and kept this man from crying?"
Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
"Lord, there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days."
Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in the cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
On this, the fifth Sunday of Lent, we heard the story from the Gospel of John of the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. But more than a play-by-play of Lazarus' own experience, this story focuses on the community's reaction to his death, being raised, and what new life actually looks like. This story takes place in Bethany, just 2 miles down the road from Jerusalem, the place where Jesus will be both hailed as king while palm branches are strewn in front of him, and he will later be rejected, spat upon, flogged, killed, and abandoned. What a difference a few miles make. In today's story, the gospel writer sets the stage for this epic tale of death and new life. And the characters look and sound really familiar to me. They are part of a community who has cared for Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary. And this community has seen it all, the best and the worst, namely the recent death of Lazarus. In a small community like that, similar to Amazing Grace, every joy is celebrated, every loss palpable. Lazarus and his sisters are well known by Jesus. At least that's the idea we get from the way the sisters confidently summon Jesus Jesus, in fact, does not come when his friends ask him. In their pain, when he does arrive, Jesus is greeted with anger, even disdain. In their grief, the sisters accuse Jesus. If you had been here, he would not have died. Oh, how this phrase stings in my own memory. Our accusing minds want to lash out at Jesus for all those times when we think that we have been abandoned, when injustice seems to have prevailed, when it seemed that we could not handle one more thing. Many of you know that last Sunday I was not with you in worship because my father-in-law was in the hospital and he died at the age of 80 of pneumonia. He had been quite sick but very stable that week. We hoped that if we could fly him from Aberdeen, South Dakota to Sioux Falls, that he could get the care that he needed and he could recover from this pneumonia. So we put him on a plane and we followed doctor's orders. We sent him out with prayers on the wings. But in the end, his body could not recover. The distance of a few miles was not enough. Jesus, if you had been there, he would not have died. That's what the sisters of Lazarus said to Jesus. The bystanders could not foresee what would have happened next, of course. Who could have predicted this? How could Jesus raise up what had been dead for 4 days? How could this be even possible? I mean, Lazarus was not sleeping. This is not a matter of resuscitation. Lazarus was dead, like really, really dead. But all that changed in an instant. Death had lost its power. In 1993, I visited Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington. The volcano had erupted in 1980, and many of you remember this, watching on television, maybe in person, as ash was spewed up into the sky. So, visiting there 13 years later, I was surprised at what I saw. Hiking up the mountain, the view was stark. Turning to the right, it looked like the face of the moon. Everything was gray, covered in ash. Hardly any trees survived. No vegetation could be seen. It looked like a valley of dry bones. But if I turned to the left, I saw green grass, wildflowers, birds, critters running around. It was like teeming with life. But then when we turned back to the right, and I looked a little closer, what I could see was little seedlings were starting to grow. There were little buds forming. There was new life screaming about. In looking closer, I could see that new life was happening. What I formerly thought was a valley of dry bones that would never again regenerate. What is resurrection life? What does that look like for us? It's a family whose hearts are broken by the death and yet strengthened by this trust in God and the promise of the resurrection. It's the power of God, God's creation, to regenerate growth after a seemingly disastrous volcanic eruption. The resurrection life is the coming together of two congregations who form amazing grace and have been doing God's work for 10 years. Now, 10 years later, we celebrate what God has done and continues to do so that this resurrection life can be witnessed out into the world. This resurrection life that we receive from God through Christ is not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's an ongoing testament to the power of God to take the sting of death away and turn it into a balm. Lush Jesus, and ours. We are witnesses still to the amazing resurrection work that God does in our lives. God, who is the author of life and the architect of rebirth. So today, as we celebrate this anniversary, we give thanks for what God has done in the past, and we plant our feet firmly in the present, where new life springs abundant, where signs of life emerge with each passing day, testifying to the restorative power of God that lives within and among us. Please pray.
Holy God, fill this place with your Holy Spirit.